Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Castology.
This is Castology, the podcast where we listen to podcasts and then talk about them and recommend them to you, our listeners. I'm one of your castologists, ANC Weber, here with my fellow castologists,
Liz Best
and
Nick Bleeker.
How are we all?
Buzzed.
Okay. I've
got a coffee machine.
Two very, very conflicting.
I had a migraine for majority of today, and it's only just kind of let go of its vice-like grip on my life and my brain. So I'm here.
I always really like that moment when you realize that the pain that has been there is suddenly gone.
Yeah. Well, I it's always a really tentative thing for me because that kicked in about, I want to say half an hour ago. And it's that thing where if you think about it, you can almost feel it and like will it back into existence accidentally.
Don't do that.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, so I'm just kind of like, it doesn't ever come back, but you're just like, can I be excited about feeling like there's no ice pick in my eye anymore? Is that okay, universe, please?
It is okay.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
All right, well, there's no theme today.
Nope.
But we do have a theme coming up in a couple of weeks.
We do.
So hang out for that. But we have just brought three podcasts that we would like to recommend to you all.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh. Yeah.
So I would like to hear from Nick first.
My podcast is called Trace by the ABC in Australia.
I know this podcast. Well, it's been on my list and I haven't listened to it, so I'm glad you're giving me a kick up the butt to listen it.
So Trace, it's kind of, it's split into two seasons so far. So the first season is about a murder of Maria James in Melbourne. And the second season is about an infamous case of the informant in Australia, which is this big, famous case where a lawyer was informing to the police about her clients.
Jeez, and it that's is dangerous.
If you look at a spider's web and you think that's fucking complex, nah.
Not even. Fuck off spiders with your stupid simple webs.
Stupid simple spiders.
What did spiders do?
Nothing. No, spiders are great.
Spiders are horrible. What are you talking about?
They are scary.
The ones with needle legs.
Yes. Which ones?
Anyone that have shiny needle-looking legs.
Like Daddy Long Legs?
Well, sort of.
But Daddy Long Legs are like friends.
Any spider that looks
golden
crunchy.
Orbs.
Yeah, I don't like
them.
Oh,
golden orbs. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're kind of freaky. Yeah, that's cool. Anyway, sorry. So season one of Trace is about the murder of Maria James in Melbourne, which is a very interesting case. I don't really recall it because it was in the 80s and I was born in the 90s. So,
were you born in the 90s?
Yeah, I'm a 90s kid.
Gross.
You should know that.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, Nick's a baby.
Guess not.
I thought you
were. We were talking about our ages a few weeks ago.
I tuned out, clearly.
Hurtful. So in terms of where I would suggest you start, I would say just pick a season that interests you the most.
Mm-hmm.
Now, season two is less of murder and more just very, it is very complex. You really have to pay attention to it. But the way that the ABC have presented both the seasons of the show is really, really well done. It's really, really good storytelling and investigative journalism, if you would call it that. I think the journalist that is on this
anytime you kind of do a deep dive into something, it's investigative journalism. Like if you do proper research into it and don't just like
this is next level shit. They actually get Nicola Gobbo on the show for season two. So
she's
the big lawyer. Yeah, she's the one that's basically in hiding and all this other shit. Anyway,
I feel like it's not really good hiding if your name's out there. Yeah. But you know, whatever.
Yeah, Nicola. But it's called Trace.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Excellent. So can I ask, because you mentioned there's two seasons, are they both available? Because in brief looking, I could only find season two.
Season one is available.
Season one is definitely available.
Yeah, you have to. The ABC's website's really weird. So if you go to the ABC website, it's under like this little tab where you go seasons and you go season one and season two.
Cool.
And in my
podcast
app, I listen
to it off
as well.
Apple, and it's available on Apple.
Yeah, mine's on awesome. Pocket Cast as well. So
yeah.
All right, no worries. Well, let's hear from Liz.
Okay, so you know how I like crime and stuff.
I do. I'm aware of this.
Yeah,
this is a podcast about crime and stuff. So also, you know how Shonda Rhimes is like queen of the universe at the moment. Well, again, with Bridgerton coming out, but she's always kind of been like queen of TV. So this is like the Shondaland kind of venture into podcasting. It's called Criminalia. Ooh. Now, I found this podcast because the cover art just makes me so friggin' happy. It's like a period costume skeleton. So it's got hosts Holly Frey and Maria Tremarchi. I can't remember because I'm a bad researcher, but it's one of those. Let's just say Holly and Maria. Mm-hmm. And they bring humor to historical true crime podcasts. So it's takes a historical bent. And they try to do what I like to do, which is keep it light when talking about really dark Great. Subjects. So
it is a controversial take sometimes when dealing with true crime.
It is, but I feel like as long as you're always respectful to the victims, then you can, like, yeah. I think that's the line. The line is be respectful to the victims and everything else you can have a really dark sense of humor.
Oh, you can definitely make fun
with.
Of the murderers.
And
not the murderers.
They do, and we do. Holly Frey actually also has the podcast Stuff You Missed in History Class, which is very, very popular. Mm-hmm. So each episode of Criminalia looks at one particular person from history, usually a woman, who committed a murder. Their whole first season is on female poisoners.
Ooh,
not all okay. of them did it. Oh. Some of them are suspected. Some of them definitely fucking did it and did it again and again and
they
again.
They are some of my favorite true crime stories.
Female poisoners are great. Like, I just, the stories of like entire towns of women who just decided that they found a poison and offed all their husbands via a secret women network, the best.
Or that one woman who was just like, yeah, if your husband's beating you, just let me know.
Let's just come over. Here's some stuff. So, yeah, and also they have like a, it seems to be very trendy at the moment, doing a thematic cocktail to do with each episode. So
they
do that too.
I think people just like drinking.
Well,
I love drinking.
I feel like it's a combination of people like drinking and people want a gimmick, and it gives them extra stuff to put out on social media and stuff as well. I mean, if you can come up with a punny name for it, I'm all for it. And Zane's like, when I'm off the drinking Zane's train.
Gone. Just make a nice cocktail. Why does it need to be a pun?
Because
make
it
poetic.
Makes it 10 times more excellent.
Yeah.
All right. You want
anyway,
them.
Yes, Criminalia. First season, female poisoners. I enjoyed. Go nuts.
Awesome. Well, that just leaves me, and I'm recommending something that's a little different to what I usually recommend. I'm recommending Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, which is a personal development podcast, kind of like discussions about how you can do little things each day and habits to make your life easier and make the world a better place.
That does still fit in with your 2021 theme of trying to change the world.
It does. It does.
Just
but
not
usually,
in an angry-making way. Yeah. this one isn't making you furious to make you do something.
Yeah, let's reflect and make our lives a bit better.
So that we can protest better. Yeah.
So
we can
that
be
we,
in better
can,
health
we can burn down the institutions.
Better health to eat the rich.
Have wronged us. Yes. So this is hosted by Greg Clunas. And there's like almost 700 episodes.
Holy
you can
balls.
Yeah, it's every couple of days they release a new episode. They're only short. They're only like 10, 15 minutes.
I love short podcasts.
And so this stuff like the latest one as of recording is like stop trying to be extraordinary, or there's like a better way to learn, which basically talks about the different techniques that people have used to learn in the past and figuring out what best works for you, just that sort of thing, kind of simple things. It's very can long distance relationships work, how to practice forgiveness, that sort of thing.
I'm so in. Yeah. I like my self-help bite size.
Yeah,
because oh, well, I'll explain in review day. On review, I can't word. But I'll explain when we review why.
Revisit this. But yeah, Tiny Leaps, Big Changes. I like this. I do find it, my one critique before we get to the review is that it is very radio style produced.
I like that.
Yeah, if you can get past that, which I sometimes have trouble with, I didn't have trouble with this one, but I was like, when I first listened, I was like, oh, this doesn't sound like a self-help podcast. This this sounds like a radio show, but then the content won me over. So yeah, just brace yourself for that if that's an issue for you. And yeah, Tiny Leaps, Big Changes by Greg Clunas. Yeah, have a listen.
Cool.
So that is our recommendations for this week. Mm-hmm. So let's go on to our reviews for last week. We didn't have a theme last week, but mm-hmm. I think we all brought a pretty typical podcast for ourselves.
I mean, a portion of mine feels typical.
Audio drama and true crime.
Oh, true. I was like, I don't normally bring old timey things, but that was, yeah.
Right. Well, let's start with yours, which was Case Closed.
Case Closed. Okay, so Case Closed, exclamation mark, and then in brackets, old time radio, except their cover art says old time crime. So they need to sort that out. Is a Relic Radio podcast. They have 8 different podcasts, and they basically just take old radio shows and content and bring them to new ears through the form of podcasts. I picked Case Closed because it's about detectives and cops and robbers, and they have some of the original Sherlock Holmes radio audio dramas. What did you think of the old-timey audio plays?
I felt like I was getting emphysema listening to this, you know, like just fucking just the smoke that's sitting on the ashtray and then everyone's smoking.
Did you get drunk off all the whiskey that all the detectives were drinking?
I had a whiskey on the side. Actually, I was listening to one episode, I think it was the Dragnet episode, and I did have a glass of whiskey next to me on my desk, so it felt pretty good. Not even intentional. I just like to drink, as I said earlier. This is a super fascinating show. I really, really enjoyed this. So one thing that I really loved about it is that how it sources its material and how much it reminded me of sitting down in the mornings at my grandma's house and listening to stories on her old Electrolux radio. And then I called grandma and I was like, you should listen to this. And she had no idea what a fucking podcast was. So,
like, what's a podcast?
Yeah, she had no idea. I really, really enjoyed this. And I think it's because it's not, it really is bringing these stories back. Mm. And I've never heard of any of these. Obviously, like Sherlock Holmes is, you know, in the public consciousness. But some of this stuff, like I think the ones that I listened to, it was Dragnet and the Fat Man, which is actually recently. Mm. And the other one that I listened to was way back. I can't even remember. But I really loved it. I am surprised that I've only heard about this now. I feel like this would be something that's a little bit more mainstream or in the public eye, but I'm kind of surprised that it's not.
Yeah, I do feel like there should be more eyes on this, which is part of the reason that I brought it. And I just kind of like that it's the nostalgia as well as the stories. But there are a few different podcasts that do take older radio shows and bring them back. But I specifically like this one because I like the Sherlock Holmes and the Johnny Dollar and all those.
And I think having the ads in there as well really adds to the character of the show. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, this shit existed.
Yeah.
You know? And then again, I got emphysema, so.
Yeah, from the ads. Yeah. Because you went out and bought 10 packs of cigarettes.
Yeah. Camel cigarettes.
This is very fun. Like, it's interesting. Like, if someone was creating this as a product now, like if it wasn't a product that existed back then and they were creating it as a product now as like old-timey radio, I don't think I would enjoy it as much. But that sense of nostalgia and consuming something that is part of the past is a part of this media.
Agreed.
I couldn't listen to too many just because it is kind of that style where it does reward you sitting down and listening to it rather than listening while you're doing other things, and that's not usually how I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, well, because that's how radio was made back in the day, right?
Yeah.
It's an event.
Yeah,
absolutely. So take some time, listen to it properly and enjoy it for what it is. I think this is very fun. It's especially if you enjoy this kind of content, this is a great presentation of it.
And just for anybody else who's not really into like detective gumshoey types of stories, Relic Radio have 8 different genres of old-timey radio shows. Like if you like sci-fi audio dramas, there's like a whole science fiction. Have a look, because I really think they're doing the good work when it comes to giving new life to nostalgic historical awesomeness.
I do have an appreciation for people that are that try to keep these sort of relics as up to date or in that sort of public mind as much as possible, even though it may not be widespreading, because I feel like some of this stuff's really important in terms of storytelling and even
we can learn so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, anyway.
Absolutely. Well, that is Liz's recommendation. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about my recommendation. So I recommended Popular Front, which was a podcast about conflicts, basically conflict journalism, about conflicts that don't get a lot of airtime in our regular media consumption. So what did you all think?
Nick first.
I felt like the more I listened to it, the more I started to appreciate the work that they were doing. The thing that bothered me the most is that the production threw me off a little bit, because I think some of the episodes that I listened to, they were doing it via Zoom and then all that sort of stuff, but I'm not going to really...
I feel like we can't be critical about that in times of COVID. But also, it bugs me no end. And if I look at the catalogue and find that they recorded the episode before COVID, I'll have a go at it. But anytime in 2020, they get a pass for crappy audio.
Yeah. And I'm not going to nix it for that. I feel like for me, it kind of added a little bit to the character of it being sort of like homebrew journalism, where they're actually...
Homebrew journalism. Like, God, I love that. I love that.
So like, you know, like if back in the day, you're watching the news and you have those reporters coming in from the front line of whatever conflict it is. I found the fact that this is actually going out of its way to report on those conflicts that we're not at all aware of really important. I really like... I can't remember the host's name. His name's Jake?
The host?
Yeah. Who's the host?
I'm blanking now.
Blanking. That's okay. I did like the fact that the host was able to help was able to help guide the reports that were coming in as well. And they were really good at explaining the depth of whatever conflict it was. I think it was... Oh, the one that I listened to was the War for the Western Sahara. With Professor Jacob Mundy. And I thought that was really interesting, because that I have no idea. I didn't know there was a fucking war in the Sahara.
Who the fuck knows that?
That's kind of the point of the podcast. Yeah. You don't know about these ones.
And so for me, I've subscribed to it because I am very curious to see and hear what's going to come and what's already happened. But also, fair warning, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Mm. This is, it definitely is. It's both in content and in, I guess, lack of audio production. Like, they're journalists, they're not engineers, basically.
So it is
about the content. So, yeah, like, I did give you a warning last episode, didn't I? Did I not?
I don't recall.
Okay, sorry. For people who haven't listened to it yet, this is your warning. Like, some of these episodes are heavy.
Well, I can't imagine it wouldn't be with the topics that we're discussing here.
War and conflict.
And I think the other thing that I got out of it was the fact that there's a lack of a big news organization behind it. It is strictly independent, which I found helps it a lot in terms of what it can report and what it will report. Mm.
So back when I was a real journalist, I used to work the night desk at the Australian Associated Press. And I was on the world desk. So I would have all of these stories come through, and it was my job to decide which ones we picked up and which ones we didn't. And I had no idea about any of these conflicts that are going on, and neither did anybody. Like, after you've been working on the world desk for a while, you kind of get to know what are the big stories and what are little. But I kind of wish that this podcast had been around while I was doing my job. Not to say I did a bad job, but it just reminded me of, like, I back then knew so much more about all these minor wars that nobody else had ever heard of. And I say minor in terms of news sense, not in terms of how fucking horrific they were. Yeah. I made the mistake when I was listening to this of listening to the On the Ground as the MAGA protesters stormed the Capitol building episode, just because, God, why not saturate my feed with more of those fucking ugh. But it was really fascinating actually talking to someone who was on the ground while it was going down, actually saying what was happening, not filtered through lens of, you know, mainstream media. And I hate saying that, because everybody's like, mainstream media are evil. And to a degree, I agree with you, but also I don't agree with you, because some mainstream media is not evil. Just basically anything owned by the Murdochs is evil.
Is evil.
Like, well, that's
look,
the rules.
I think the difference between mainstream media and not is mainstream media has a point of view.
Yes.
Whereas true journalism and freelance journalism, that point of view belongs to the journalist. and rather than a massive media conglomeration.
We were taught back in the day never to insert yourself into the story. Yeah, that the second that you inserted yourself into the story, it became an investigative piece and nobody, and that didn't belong in the news pages. It belonged in the opinion pages. And there is such a fine line these days between, like, they'll run an opinion piece on the front page, which I find abhorrent. That should never, ever, 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 ever happen. But yeah, I listened to that, and I also listened to the Boogaloo Cop Killers episode as well. This is important. It's an important podcast that's really well researched, well done. I'm glad that somebody's doing it. I don't think the people who need to listen to it ever will. But I do wish that more of these stories would see the light of day. Like, you have a 24-hour news cycle, guys. Stop putting inane shit stories.
Yeah, putting the same thing over and over and over again and put some new stuff in
and
there.
And stop picking people that did some small thing and public shaming them and put world big important issues back in journalism. Yeah. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
You're welcome. I invited you. I gave you the platform. I will take the microphone now. Definitely, if you haven't checked it out, check it out now. And go to their website and support them on social media. This is the kind of journalism we want to support.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, I was tempted to chuck a couple of bucks to their Patreon for a couple of months just as a support.
Yep. As a thank you for the work that you do. But finally, let's move on to possibly the most confusingly named podcast that was recommended last week. The Racist Sandwich.
The Racist Sandwich podcast was my recommendation last week. It's a podcast that talks about food and the intersections of politics, race, culture around food. What did you guys think?
This title does not at all accurately describe. Like, I was expecting when I first saw the title and before I'd heard your explanation of what it was, it to be some two dude bros like going to town on fucking racism and ugh. But it's a really great podcast. Like, I really enjoyed it. I listened to the episode on the cultural significance of bodegas because New York has a very special place in my heart, and I would always, always, always go to the bodegas over any type of Whole Foods big shopping thing. Plus, you can get a sandwich at 4 o'clock in the morning. That's great. Like, when I had jet lag and I'd be getting up and I'd be like, oh, fuck, it's 3 a.m. Go get a BLT from the bodega. That's great. But actually, and I knew always that food is cultural because, you know, different foods belong to different cultures, but I'd never really thought about the political ramifications of the culture of food. And I think this podcast does a really nice job of being educational and mixing that with some really nice storytelling on the episodes I listen to. So, yeah.
I 100% agree. Like, this is a podcast that you didn't think would have a lot to say.
Exactly.
But it definitely does. I really loved the Candace Fortman episode, which was people need community. But also, like, there's the rerun that I listened to was A Raising Black Barbecue. And that is definitely about racism. So through the lens of food and how that kind of plays out in the community. Yeah, this is a really interesting podcast.
I feel like there's got to be a better name for it that doesn't make me initially, like, my body when I hear a name like Racist Sandwich goes, I don't want to listen to this podcast. And it is such a beautiful little podcast that I mean
the Racist Sandwich kind of makes you think that there's one racist with people of color on either side arguing about
something. But it's not like, it makes it sound like the show is racist rather than talking about issues of
race. Of race, yeah.
Which, I don't
know. Maybe just the racism sandwich.
Yeah, even the racism sandwich would be a little bit. But then you couldn't have a really cranky looking sandwich on your cover art. So.
Probably not. But
I don't know. It's food for thought, guys. Hey. I didn't mean that. But racist sandwich people, if you're listening, I love your podcast, but maybe have a think about the connotations of that if that's something you give a shit about. I don't know. That makes it sound like I'm going tut tut people, but I'm just like, if you want people to discover how, you know, culturally significant your podcast is, name hurdle to overcome.
It is a great podcast, and that's the problem with every podcast is getting that initial click through. Yes. It's like appealing to people based on first impression.
I mean, to be fair, the reason I found it, I was like, what the fuck? There's a podcast called The Racist Sandwich?
Listen to the audio drama about a conscious sandwich who's racist against hot dogs.
I mean,
and it's all just an allegory. for
Why
Nazis.
Do I feel like this is like a fucking stoner movie with like...
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Seth Rogen. Yeah. That's the name I was thinking of. And I'm like, what fucking... What's
his name? It's just Food Fight, right? You're just describing the movie Food Fight.
Sausage Party.
Oh, no. Sausage Party. That's what it was called. Yeah, all right. That's the end. Well, as soon as we make a Sausage Party reference, we are done.
So that's the rules of podcasting. You mention Seth Rogen, you're done. Actually, I quite like Seth Rogen.
If you would like to give us your, I guess, Sausage Party review.
I was going
to
say money.
Or recommendations. Or money. You can find us on our socials. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. You can also go to our website, thatsnotcanon.com/castology, if you want to fill in the handy form and recommend your podcast for us to recommend.
It's so quick and easy.
It is.
It's so quick and easy. Yeah. Or even if you just like a podcast and think, hey, these guys should know about it.
Then. Yeah. I will say the last submission we had, it did have one that we've already recommended in it. So I was like, have you listened to our entire back catalogue?
Do you even know who we are?
Those 100 episodes. I'm like, no, I can't shame them for that.
No, they got on board. They got excited and they wrote in. Yeah, and I am 110% okay with that.
I've done that before as well. I've put stuff on the list where I'm like, oh my God. And it's then it's
true.
Like, and Liz is like, no,
no. And shame you for
You've
that as well.
You've shamed me hard in that fucking chat. So it's true. Never forget.
It's true. Never five get.
So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for your submissions and keep them coming because we, like, that's the thing. Like, we love finding podcasts. I particularly love finding podcasts. And both Nick and Liz have at some point in the past complained about running out of podcasts. So it's time for you to have your say, I guess.
Help. Podcast people, help us not be bored.
All right. Well, that is us. We'll be back same time next week with more podcasts for your delectation. I've been Zane C. Weber here with
Elizabeth Best
and
Nick Bleeker.
Keep listening to podcasts, everyone.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.